It was the early 90s, and a fruitful America needed a stark reminder, absolutely nothing is as terrifying as sharing your home with children. The Good Son was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, my name is Sean Collier, and I'm here with two people who aren't going to find that money under the big W. It's Camila Adams.
Damn it.
And Robin Hitchcock.
I'm hulking out.
Respectable 72 for It's a Mad World, which is not in our top 30. 72. What?
I counted it out on my fingers. Yeah. You have to.
Can't say it quickly. 72 does not get you that high on our list anymore. That is not a top 30 finish.
We tend to like movies.
We try.
Some people have given me a hard time about how we hate everything, and I'm like, you're listening to the wrong episodes. Yeah. You are listening to the wrong episodes.
I get that. It's because I'm like cynical and make jokes and stuff, but people are like, oh, you're a harsh critic. Look at my Rotten Tomatoes page. I find a way to like 4 out of 5 things I watch because I want to like them. I'm just not saying like, oh, it was great, good times. What's that like bullshit publication that has the good quote on every terrible movie? It's like Wireless Magazine something.
Something like that.
I'm not like that, but it's most movies are fun.
I gotta say, I was delighted that our audience, some of it at least, is aware of and enjoys this movie. Like, shout out to our older listeners.
Gen
X.
I was shocked at the number of people who had long conversations with me about this movie, Mad World. A lot of people wanted to talk about it. Joe Morrison at the Harris Theater was like, that was my favorite movie growing up, and was shocked that I hadn't seen it until...
I'm not shocked.
I talked to somebody who said they were once in the Mad World Society.
I'm sorry, what now?
Which was a thing advertised in Variety dedicated to the cause of finding the lost footage, which was found, and then the society disbanded. So
that's so sweet.
But
you know, it's very rare you see a society that is bound together with a certain task at hand, a goal, and then they complete that goal. And so
this
week's
episode
done.
Of The Simpsons was literally about this.
Really?
So, yes. I mean, it was like broadly about QAnon and whatever. But
I'm still watching the old ones. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's still good.
I just watch it when it's on in the room that I am in, which is not infrequently.
What was it? 72 for Mad World. That is 36. That's a tough one. 36th place.
Okay, Daffy.
So you're aware of the cutoffs, if you're curious. First place remains Fight Club, 92 and a third. 10th place is 7, 85 and a third. Even 25th place is Scrooged, 78 and a third. You really got to be in the 80s to flirt with the upper reaches of our
list.
I've
forgotten that Fight Club was still number one.
Number one. And by a good bit. I don't think anything else is above 90. There might be something hovering. Like, it's got a few points.
Where's Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction
is...
I
was probably the anchor on Pulp Fiction, and I can't imagine having gone that low on it.
Pulp Fiction is 88. You gave it an 87. Camila was the lowest, 84. I gave it a 93.
That tracks.
Yeah. Well,
the thing about Pulp Fiction is if you think about it too hard, and we talked about it for an hour and a half, then the cracks grow.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Taking away 1 point for every line Quentin Tarantino has.
Exactly.
But will the good son threaten the... I don't know, because I watched the movie. I took all my notes. I did all my research. And then this morning I thought to myself, I don't know if I liked that. I think I did, but I truly had no idea what kind of a score I would give it, because I am happy with it, but I'm like, was that good or just
satisfying?
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely had never seen this movie.
I am also going to definitively say I have not seen this movie, although I had seen the final scene.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just, it was completely unfamiliar to me. up to and including like all the death. I feel like the grief background, mm-hmm. the off-screen death in their history, feel like that would have stuck with me, and it didn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, that's per my reaction last week. Mm-hmm. Last time I have seen this movie a couple times, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater. I think this was probably either like my junior year or senior year in high school.
And, so that's like the perfect time, I think, to see this movie when you're like. You don't have your own children, hopefully.
Right, yeah.
And, but you are not a child.
Right.
Right. Right?
Not yet a woman.
Yes. I feel like that is the right time to see this movie and for it to just be fun scary.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, it does hit a little different being a mom. But then again, I had just gotten off like I did like a bad seed thing. Like, I'm, shit's always in the back of my mind anyway. Mm-hmm. So...
spills her milk and you're like, I've got my eyes on you. You're a demon in there.
That's the question. What worries you more? Like just turning evil somehow, like in a good son sense or
being possessed?
Yeah, something omen-ish.
Dude, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Like I think
a bleak question.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like just being like born evil is, I think that's worse.
Like Macaulay Culkin.
Like being like a Macaulay.
Was he born evil?
Or, you know, gradually becoming something that's just like inherent or just like, you know, made by society or whatever, as opposed to a demon coming in is like, okay, you know what? I am pleading the blood of Jesus because that I feel like I have more control over as opposed to.
That makes sense to me.
One of my only objections, one of my biggest objections to this movie is, I think this kid, because he's so young and so evil, did need an explanation.
The explanation is, let's do the plot summary.
Let's do the plot summary. It's me this time, and unlike the last two times it was me, I remembered and wrote it down. About that? But I have to, there's a lot here. Someone say go.
Go.
Elijah Wood's mom dies of dramatic love story character death syndrome. After the funeral, his dad has to go close the big deal, so he takes him to stay with family in New England. The family is nice, but cousin Macaulay Culkin has crossed that line between everyday villainy and cartoonish supervillainy. The boys get along at first when Macaulay is just into Dennis the Menace-style mischief, but then, in the space of like a day and a half, he shoots and kills a dog, dumps a mannequin onto the highway, causing a staggeringly long series of car crashes, and throws precious baby sister through thin ice. Somewhere in here, the tragic backstory comes out. The youngest brother drowned in the bathtub and mom can't stop staring at the ocean about it. And whoops, Macaulay Culkin actually killed his brother. Elijah gets sick of all the sociopathy and starts trying to foil Macaulay's schemes. Macaulay tries to cover his tracks by murdering his own mother. Elijah saves her in the nick of time, but the boys brawl and nearly both fall off a cliff. Mom grabs onto both kids just in time, but can't possibly save them both. And in something of a Sophie's Choice lightning round, she chooses to save Elijah and let her own son fall to his grisly death.
All right, you did it with 2 seconds to spare.
Nice. That was a good one, too.
Only because I cut out a lot from the first draft.
Well, this is what my question is. Do we know that he killed his brother?
I think
I'm going to say, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say he did. Because, I mean, the whole thing with the rubber ducky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to say this whole thing is jealousy, is what it all boils down
right,
to.
Right, me too.
I'm assuming, obviously he's the oldest kid. And it's just like, you know, some older siblings can't handle
I feel like he tacitly acknowledged it to his mom.
He said, what if I did?
Yeah.
Right? Which I think is a great answer.
Right?
That's like one of my favorite pieces of writing in this whole movie. I think it's ambiguous if he killed his brother. My read on the movie up until that point was that we were never meant to believe, or up until the rubber ducky thing, was that we were never meant to believe he killed his brother, and that basically his brother died and his mom got broken into ocean staring.
Right.
And then he no longer had a loving parent and became a sociopath. And maybe I'm projecting. That didn't happen to me. But
yet.
No, I'm just like grief and family trauma, grief stuff. Like I'm like, oh, it'll mess you up. Right.
Right. Right.
That was my interpretation of the film. And I think that that is more compelling than this kid's just evil.
Well, that's why I wanted more. I thought that in the end he was a Michael Myers, like, oh, the born under a
just
bad sign.
Born evil. Yeah.
And I wanted something with him and the younger brother that made him kill the younger brother, and then it snowballed.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's just basically like just an older sibling now that his parents' attention is now mm-hmm. being like there was probably already something in his personality.
Yeah. Right.
But then just having that and all his parents' attention is split and now, you know, the who know you're right, it is a little like, did he not? But I am leaning more towards that he did kill okay. that. Even if it was like maybe accidentally and then like finally he realized he didn't feel bad about it. That whole thing, you know.
Right. Ooh, that would have been better. That would have worked better.
Right.
I think that mm-hmm. this movie needs something more than kids bad.
But it's also like the bad seed. We never really find out why.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, is that a 60s one?
I want to say maybe late 50s.
Okay. Who's in it?
Patty McCormick plays the mm-hmm. bad seed, but the rest of the actors, I don't know their names.
Okay.
As you pointed out with the What If I Did, Macaulay's lines are great.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good actor.
And he's a good actor. Some of the writing, for example, this is the main thing I cut out of there. The subplot where Elijah decides that his mom's soul is subletting inside of his aunt's consciousness.
Who are these people?
I want to say the dad is his dad's brother.
Okay, yes. But the dad's barely in it. So he's right. like, someone who married my dad's brother has adopted my mother's soul.
Right, yeah.
If it was her sister, then right. I'd be like, I can, all right.
Yeah.
Like when she says she'll always live on in you,
mm-hmm.
like mm-hmm. part of that is, you know, she means spiritually, but also part of it is like genetically.
Right, yeah.
And then for him to say, and in you, that also makes sense to me, uh-huh. right? Like your family, right?
Right. right.
Not that family's only blood, but anyway, it was weird. That was a weird subplot. The psychiatrist subplot was
excruciating.
Well, especially because she wasn't helpful in any way, shape, or form.
Did Scientologists make this movie? Because she is just the worst at her job.
Right. Like, and it would have been great, like, when Macaulay went to see her and started to tell her all this stuff, like, had we gotten to see him, where she was like, oh, no, he's full of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, like, I could see right through this.
That's such, the only time that whole trope of I'm in trouble, I need to go get help. Mm-hmm. And then when I go to get help, the person who I was going to has already been asked for help by the actual bad guy thing. Mm-hmm. I hate it every time it happens.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. I'm so glad in that one episode of Buffy, when Faith does it, they're all like, yeah, we know she's full of shit.
Right.
Because I feel like that's how it would actually go down most of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially because in this case, you are a working family therapist, and Macaulay's sitting there going, I'm not evil.
Exactly.
I worry about him. Maybe he's evil. And you're like, yes. What? Come on.
She is the worst at her job.
So that's what happens when you've got one island that has one family therapist.
Also, this is such movie Maine.
Yeah.
I assume it's actually Canada.
Really?
I didn't check.
Okay, yeah. It's so like, everything's a rocky shore.
Right. And I was like, really, I was like, very confused at like, just the fact of like, how much freedom these boys had. I was like, it looks like they were, their house is like on an island in itself. It's like, where the fuck are y'all running to?
Wherever you go, there is a footbridge, a frozen pond, and a shoreline.
And a cemetery.
On three sides of you.
I rewatched Willow the other day, and I was saying to Colin, I'm like, the first time I watched this movie, I was on an island off the coast of Maine. Which is true. They have those. It's just a big old pile of rocks in the ocean. It's really what Maine is.
No, mostly filmed, some in Maine, some in Minnesota, some in Massachusetts.
All right, so real Maine.
Yeah, a bit of real Maine. I know it wasn't the real ocean. There was some reason why that was a probably great lake. Those are facts I looked up and half knew. Here are some ones I looked up earlier and mostly know. The Good Son was released September 24th of 1993, the 20th number one movie of that year. Won that weekend with $12.5 million. The runner-up was new. The Program, a football movie?
Never heard of it.
I think I heard of it. Didn't see it.
Yeah. Second place, $6.8 million. Hey, there's a horror trilogy I've never heard of before. It's called Warlock.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm vaguely aware of that.
Blonde guy?
Yeah. Yeah. This was the release of Warlock the Armageddon, which clunky title. Sixth place, $1.7 million. Also, a new and limited release that weekend, Dazed and Confused.
Oh,
cute.
Only really in limited release. It was in 14th, $900,000. Not a number one movie in America. The Good Son fell to second place the following week. The debuting Malice was in first. 9.2 million to 7.7 million.
It is. That's a Aaron Sorkin written, Alec Baldwin, mm-hmm. Nicole Kidman.
There it is.
I'm sure that if you were on the right plane, that got you through the flight.
Some people love that movie. I hate it. But Aaron Sorkin is my enemy, so...
Good Son's second weekend was still ahead of the debuting Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings opened in third.
Shame.
Made a total of $44.7 million, 32nd place overall for 1993. Let's go to the MTV Movie Awards.
Ooh.
Only one, though. Macaulay Culkin was nominated for Best Villain at the 1994 MTV Movie Awards alongside John Malkovich in the Line of Fire.
Oscar-nominated performance.
Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man.
I was going to guess that.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex from Jurassic
did
Park.
Did that win?
No, the winner was Alicia Silverstone in Crush.
Nice.
Listen,
don't.
I have not seen Crush.
Okay, to be fair, first of all, I remember that movie being pretty awesome.
Yeah. Right.
B, MTV giving Alicia Silverstone an award is
in 1994.
That's what she was there for.
Yeah. That's on brand.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They were like, here you go. Thank you for making us relevant.
I mean, I haven't seen it. You tell me, is she more imposing than the Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And she's a teenage girl. In LARV.
Yeah.
She's the good teenage girl. Like, she's Macaulay Culkin 10 years older.
I see.
Right?
Yeah. Macaulay's stage dad, I forget his name. Apparently he was a bastard.
Mr. Culkin.
Mr. Culkin really wanted him in this movie. He wanted to show
his
rage.
Dramatic chops. Yeah. That's actually, listen, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
No,
managering.
That part is smart. Also, I mean, I think this guy was abusive and Macaulay got the money taken away from him and they're estranged, yada, yada, yada.
Rory still doesn't talk to their dad.
I don't think any of them do.
Yeah. What about there's an extra Culkin in this,
there's
right?
There's two Culkins in there.
The girl who falls through the ice.
And the picture of the...
Is that Rory?
That's Rory.
Oh, that's so cute.
The girl that falls through the ice is a younger sister, Quinn Culkin. She did not continue acting. She was
I bet she was like, you know what? Yes. Enough.
Have to do every time.
So I thought she was like gonna be terrible because I've never heard of her before, mm-hmm. and right. then she was pretty good,
yeah.
and I was like, she must have just been like, no thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to have that confirmed. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, wasn't I think that their dad had a thing where like a Culkin, another Culkin had to always be in the
yes.
in
that
one
sounds
of
familiar.
Macaulay's films.
And the deal here was he wanted Macaulay in The Good Son. Fox wasn't sure because it had already been promised to Jesse Bradford, child actor of the time.
Is he the dead one or one of the dead ones?
I don't know. I think
he's
alive.
No, there's the one in Swim Fan.
Is he? He's not the one from Desperate Housewives.
I don't know enough about Desperate Housewives.
Jesse Bradford was the kid in Far From Home, The Adventures of Yellow Dog.
Did he grow up to be in Bring It On and Swim Fan?
A movie called King of the Hill. Yes, he's the guy in Swim Fan and Bring It On. This role was already promised to him. Mr. Culkin wanted it and said, well, fine. If you don't take that part away from that child and give it to Macaulay, no Home Alone 2. So Fox said, yes, please, anything you want, sir. And that's why we have this movie.
I don't know if Jesse Bradford could have pulled this off.
I don't think Jesse Bradford could have pulled this off.
Oh, Macaulay was fantastic. No argument, but there was some power play to make it happen.
That's crazy pants, man.
Somehow the timeline, because then they had to wait till after Home Alone 2 to make this movie. Elijah was doing something else. So if it had been Jesse Bradford, it also would not have been Elijah.
And Elijah Wood was also good.
Right.
Elijah Wood, mm-hmm. that dude's been good. He's like always been 40.
Well, I mean, stay tuned for You Can't Handle the Truth, because we are going to talk about it, right? We all had an Elijah Wood festival.
Hey, the two other people in the world who are super fans of the 1990 TV movie Child in the Night, stay tuned. Your moment has arrived. A word on where these two were career-wise at this time. Culkin was a full-blown superstar. Home Alone 2 had come out the previous Christmas. And that was a year after My Girl, 2 years after the original Home Alone. And by this time, he was almost done. He did three movies in 1994, Getting Even with Dad, The Pagemaster, and Richie Rich. And then said, no, I'm done with this.
Good for
and
him.
Did not act for 10
years. Oh,
wow. Years.
Okay. So it was his choice. I didn't realize.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. He had made plenty of money and was sick of it. So he didn't do anything until Party Monster in 2004. A superstar at the time. Also, he was 12. I'm telling you their ages because these kids could be anywhere from 8 to 16. They have weird grown-up faces. He was 12. Elijah was 11 when filming started, 12 by the time it finished. Elijah Wood was definitely in his childhood peak. Obviously, that's not as famous as Macaulay Culkin, but this is right in the prime for him as well. The same year as Huck Finn, a year after both Forever Young and Radio Flyer. North was the following year, right in the Elijah Phase 1 prime. And finally, one other note. Hey, maybe green screen is okay. Both Culkin and Wood were hanging from harnesses on the side of a cliff.
I was wondering about that.
180 feet above the water.
Because I was looking at that. I was like, this does not look like green screen. If no, it is, didn't. It's amazing for 93.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sure they strapped them in nice and tight and checked everything, but they were hanging there. And in fact, the shot where Macaulay falls, spoiler, well, wait, we did a recap. Yeah. Like, he was in the harness, but within a harness, he plummeted 30 feet through the air.
They, like, Tower of Terror'd him?
Yeah, they Tower of Terror'd him on the side of this cliff.
And that seems so dangerous!
And it worked, but he said, I'm only doing that if somebody buys me a BB gun. And they did. He got his BB gun. Which, on the one hand, is precious. Two, though, at the end of this filming process, would you give him a firearm?
Absolutely not.
I'd be like, you're too good at this.
Right, you've been entrenched too long in this character. I'm gonna, you know what, that gives me a whole new level. I mean, I've already was pretty respectful of Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin as little childhood actors to begin with, but damn.
That scene messes me up. I do not like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't like thinking about it. I don't like watching it.
The climax?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is upsetting.
It is. It is.
Every part of it.
The whole damn thing. And also, if you recall, like, I was reminded when you're going through Elijah's filmography, he was in Paula Abdul's Forever Your Girl video. Yes. A very teeny tiny Elijah Wood playing a stressed out businessman.
She has really great actors in her music videos. Mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves and Rush Rush.
And he was also in a Cranberries video.
Which one?
Zombie. No. Ridiculous Thoughts.
Oh, God. The Cranberries were my favorite band when I was 10. Yeah. So I'm embarrassed I didn't know that.
I mean, that's a nice parallel, too. Like the Macaulay Home Alone Michael Jackson video level to the Elijah Adventures of Huck Finn Cranberries video.
Right.
Level of fame. Yeah, this, I think it depends on how much you're thinking about it. Because if you're just watching a thriller and see how it turns out and, you know, it's got good actors and cast and you're like, wow, what a great movie. And then you step back and you're like, there was a lot of murderousness involving children here. And this is a movie that ends with a mother watching her 10-year-old son fall to his grisly death due
because
to a decision
her
she made.
Her basically having to choose to do that.
Yes,
too.
She lets her son die horribly.
I mean, he did just try to kill her.
I'm not saying she did the wrong thing. I'm saying it's awful.
Yeah, it was terrible she was put in that position in the first place. But you know what? And it's not even just like a spiteful way of like, you tried to kill me, so I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's thinking of like all of the shit that's going to have to go down. Like, do you really see him being healed or fixed, quote unquote? Like, you save him and then like he grows up and lives like a normal fucking life. Like, no, it's like, I'm never going to, like, I'm always looking at you crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to trust you. I'm not going to sleep in the same house as you. Like,
were protecting Connie. I mean, really.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't know things about this degree of abnormal psychology. Like, I don't know if this is real, is what I'm saying. Are there really people like this?
Children?
I'm guessing most people don't, like, come out normal and then lose their humanity.
No, I'm glad I don't remember any names or specifics because I don't want anyone to look this up. But there's definitely, like, I've read a very harrowing Wikipedia page about a case in England where two boys who until that moment were just kind of normal bad kids. Like,
I've watched multiple shorts about this.
Yeah, torturing and killing another kid for no clear reason.
Yeah.
Like, I think it happens.
It does. And you hear random stories about this here and there. And then you also hear about, like, serial killers who are like, they started off with, you know, killing animals.
Right.
And like, beating up or abusing their younger siblings.
Right. I think that they were following, like, serial killer profile knowledge with the good son. The thing you're talking about, the thing about that is that those kids were not sociopaths. They were normal, emotionally regulated children who one day decided to torture and murder someone.
Hmm.
And it's like, why?
How are they not sociopaths.
Well, it's
so
like in their other, it's not like they were going around killing dogs and it was like, oh, well, of course they did this. It was like they were normal kids who had friends and were nice and sometimes well behaved and sometimes poorly behaved the way that children are. And then they murdered a kid.
Or seemingly normal kids.
Right.
Because I don't remember the difference, but the sociopath and versus the psychopath.
Yes.
There's one that can mimic
right
normal behaviors and mm-hmm. whatnot and empathy and you know,
I
and
think
play
that's
the part.
A psychopath?
Okay.
I don't, again.
Yeah,
and then
I know.
Also
I never remember.
And then this is all, what we're all talking about is pop psychology, right?
Right.
And
right.
then it's like,
right.
and which is what this movie is obviously playing with. And I have no idea what the reality is. I should have done some research on this.
I know, like, this is
I wish we had more to say here other than I don't really know what the deal
right.
is.
Right. I feel, yeah, I'm really disappointed in myself
yeah.
for not digging into this.
Well,
Catch our follow-up episode right. after we go get degrees in psychology.
But this is my question about this movie. You start to think about what you're being presented with in this film, and you're like, this is the darkest shit I've ever seen in a movie. Elijah Wood holds a knife to his neck.
Yeah.
At which point the dad is like mildly upset. That's yeah. as much as dad reacts.
Dad is such a wet rag. He's so
both parents kind of suck.
I like the mom. I think she's interesting.
You think you had to look at the ocean before
yeah, seriously.
She does a lot of when she's like, no, my son is good, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You are not completely yeah. unaware of the way your child is.
Exactly. I would say that she would, well, maybe she was just too busy staring at the ocean. She's yeah. she's not picking yeah. up on those clues.
Oh, it's one of our rare awkward pauses.
Yeah, that was yeah. our awkward pause while we all think about the nature of goodness.
Which, okay, that's my question. Is how evil this movie is a knock on it, or is that why it's different and memorable?
Yes.
Wait, right. what? What was the question?
Does how dark this shit is lower your score, or is that part of why it's good? To which Robin says both.
That is part of why part of why it's good. For me.
I like that they don't back down. I like that yeah. the dog dies.
Right.
Ooh, not just we need a subcategory on does the dog die called is the dog murdered? It's
right,
bad yeah. enough when it's like, oh, there was a car. This is a long scene of deciding to and executing
and the
dog.
The cat survives.
Save the cat.
Yep.
Bad choice. Bad choice.
But yeah, the pile up on the caused by the dummy, that was like uncomfortably long. Like,
yeah.
that
was, I'd say that was excessively long.
That was,
like, there were cars that were half a mile away at the time that Mr. Highway took his dog.
Foggy main day.
All right. And this is, I don't know, yeah, this was even before cell phones, so nobody was distracted by it.
But then they do say in the radio broadcast, no one died.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think that's because it levels it up too much too early.
Yes.
He needs to build to killing.
Yeah.
As opposed to just imperiling. Poor sister.
Oh, that was another thing where I was like, I've never seen this, is that I find falling through thin ice to be one of the scariest things.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, this would be burned into my memory. Because
yeah.
that is
yeah.
a scary falling through thin ice scene.
Yeah, that is really horrifying. And then the way that he just like fakes like
yep.
he's going to help her, like
yep.
just reaches just out of the, oh my God.
Yep.
It's like, dude.
Was that messing with her, or was that acting for the crowd?
I think it was both. I thought it was acting for the crowd, but if mm-hmm. it's messing with her, that's even scarier.
Oh boy.
It's just, that's true evil.
Well, this kid is not a good son.
Right.
This son is not good. Because this didn't get good reviews. I think it got those kind of like, this is just dark and upsetting.
Well, you know, I don't think we, in the late 90s, were really ready to, or the early 90s, they're just like, it's children. Like, we shouldn't be thinking about
yeah.
them like this. What would have been, a thought that came to my mind as I was watching is that, and then we find out Henry is, what's Elijah's name? Mark? Mac?
Mark.
Mark. Is Henry is Mark's Tyler Durden because that's
ooh
yeah
like the one thing that I do think this movie well, there's many things I think this movie could do better, but Mark Elijah Wood has the chops.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had Mark could have been more than just horrified bystander to this, right?
Yeah.
Like the part where he has the knife,
yeah,
like I want more of that dark Mark.
Yeah, it's like I could kill you right now.
Yeah.
Oh, and the way that Macaulay is stone cold. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, man.
He starts to describe how the blood's going to squirt across the room.
Never mind. This movie's great. Any drawback I have is like, you're right, Camila. Like, it goes there in a way that nothing else does.
Right. And there's also like these strange little quirks, and I don't know who to thank for like certain these little sprinkles of character development as to where Henry is concerned. But did you notice that he's wearing mismatched shoes throughout the entire thing?
No, I did not.
He's wearing one white sneaker and one dark colored sneaker the entire film.
And I saw there's some IMDb trivia fact that that's like that's representative of the split between good and evil.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Well, I mean, I don't think because I don't know if that was like for on per like that mm-hmm. like because I mean, they don't highlight it like yeah. it's not it's yeah. just it's just something you would notice.
He's just out of step, not to take that pun direction.
Right.
And with then the rules of society, like don't kill dogs or right. cause pileups.
And there's also like, you know, with where the mom is concerned, when she comes into his little mm-hmm. house of fucking horrors, yeah. like the shed, I feel like she should have been a little more concerned about the doll hanging from a noose.
Yeah, she's like, crafts.
She's just like, right, she's kind of moves it out of the way. Like, first of all, maybe you want to question how your son knows how to make a noose. He's like 10. Like, what?
No, the more we talk about it, the more I like it. Especially, and the creepy New England, some drive-in in, you know, Vermont should do a Don't Move Here film festival and show Jaws and The Good Son and Amityville Horror. Like, see what happens? You're thinking of sweaters. You'll get murder.
I know.
Yeah. Love this movie's 87 minutes long, which mm-hmm. God bless it.
Yeah,
but I love that within those 87 minutes, they still have time for road trip porn.
Wait, what?
In the very beginning, when it's like,
oh yeah,
because I guess they live elsewhere in the country, and it's like we got to drive across the country to Maine,
right?
And it's just like, look at the gorgeous red rocks of the United States. And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything?
Have you ever seen them rocks?
Yeah, that's where I honeymooned.
That's the thing. I feel like once you see there, you spend the next 10 years going, people have to see these fucking rocks.
It's true.
And I didn't even mean to. I drove from Phoenix to the Grand Canyon, which leads you through, I never remember if it's Sedona or Sonoma.
It's Sedona.
Sedona. And I'm looking around, I'm like, these are the rocks. These are the movie rocks. Holy shit. Probably just that. Yeah. Wait, where were they going? Where were they from?
Probably California. But if it's like you have to be in Tokyo tomorrow, I don't understand why he's like, road trip.
Right. It does, well, just the whole thing of him leaving doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Like, take your kid to Tokyo with you.
Both of his parents die, right? Make him have to go live with these people indefinitely. Give it some stakes. When they were like, you're going for 2 weeks, I'm like, this is all going to unfold in 2 weeks.
I feel like you can make it 2 weeks in most situations.
Yeah. And like, just the certain setups too of like moving him into the other kid's room is like he's mm-hmm. there for 2 weeks. Why are we moving him anywhere? Like, it's fine.
2 weeks.
And just like, I also kind of feel like David Morris was wasted.
I mean, this is pre-fame David Morris, but also like, come on, like,
yeah.
And he I never mean, he's comes- never was famous. You know what I mean? This is early career David Morris, I believe.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is that the dad?
That's the real. Elijah. That's the Elijah's real, dad. The real dad. Yeah. Not the wet rag.
As the number one job of all dads in movies, closing this deal. That is his whole. All we ever learn.
Well, and they're really big on letting us know, like, this is a good reason because they'll be set for life and you won't have to work and blah, blah, blah.
To which I mean, what deal closing job is like, we're fine from here on out?
Right.
What are you, selling Disney to Coke? Like, what are you... The first thing I wrote down was whoever is doing this score needs to calm the fuck down before I move to a wintry European city. It's... And it is good. It's one of the legendary people. Not the one guy, but his brother. Figure out what I'm trying to say. Not the guy that's like the... Not Leonard Bernstein, Elmer Bernstein.
Oh!
Elmer Bernstein, brother of Leonard, who did 50 years worth of film scores and is great. But this entire thing is like... Please cry. Please cry. Are you crying yet? Please cry.
Yeah.
Are you going to cry because of the sad piano? No. I have strings. You want some strings? Now you're going to cry because of the sad strings. It was good.
I did not ever cry having watched this movie. But I would like to think that Mark does send Susan a nice, lovely basket at least every year.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for saving me at the expense of your not good son.
Right.
I need a, I don't know, rock climber with knowledge of physics to clear up that moment. One, I feel like any adult could at least slightly hoist two scrawny 10-year-olds who are helping simultaneously.
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking that the boys probably could have walked up.
Yeah, that was one thing that was confusing to me. I feel like the ledge hanging seemed much more dire than I think it... I mean, it's terrifying, right? Because you could fall to your death, but the impossibility of getting back up seemed a little...
Well, I don't know.
Far-fetched.
Like, well, yeah, I let me think about this. Kasia is probably like 35 pounds right now, maybe.
So take two of her.
That chick is heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to lift 35 pounds.
Right.
And also, these kids are probably 50
like your suitcase getting on an airplane is more than 35 pounds.
I know that I have... my upper body strength is not my strongest suit.
Neither. No.
So I would like a whole
room of non-lifters.
I have never done a pull-up.
Me either.
Yeah, no. Ever.
So I think like, so both the boys are probably like, you know, 80 each, maybe like 75.
I don't understand what size children are.
But either way, like, I just feel like that'd be a lot to handle and try to pull. I think maybe one of them, you're right. Maybe one of them, she could have hoisted up and then the other.
And then grab the other.
Yeah.
One. Right. Kind of like throw the one kid over your shoulder like a sack of potatoes.
But I also feel like those kids weren't helping either. Like, they should have just
Now that would be an ending. She tries, but instead of going back, he just kind of goes a little farther out and falls like, oh shit. I meant to save the other one, but come on up, son. I guess you're going away for a while. Yeah, it's great. The more I talk about it and think about it, I'm like, no, I should be watching this once a year on a cold, wintry day.
Do we think it belongs in our spooky season list? That was one question I had.
I was thinking about that. Yeah, I was thinking about that a lot, and to me, yes, because these kids are not spooky, or a lot. Macaulay's not spooky. He's definitely scary.
Yeah,
he's not creepy. He's
but
scary.
Like, I do think that, like, Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has supernatural non-death powers, doesn't he?
More or less.
Okay,
but I think, but Psycho. But again,
those are, like, there are definitely movies that I consider spooky season movies where it's just a crazy person.
Yeah, and it's the non-horror version of this film doesn't have, maybe has killing the dog, but certainly doesn't have throwing the daughter in the lake and Mr. Highway. There's a version of this movie where it's just, is he evil?
Or
where
Elijah just like, holding the scissors to him.
Right. It's just like accidents and coincidences and he's staring in the corner. You could see that psychological thriller version of this.
Right.
But the level this goes to, you're like, this is a horror movie. Like,
all right.
Macaulay is working hard to be an elephant.
Yeah.
He is. He's also just straight up playing his Home Alone character. And I think he knew. Because I'm like, this isn't that different. That kid was a wise ass, willing to hurt people too.
Except it wasn't
this much of a twist.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's just like, the edge is taken off. Instead of, you know, go ahead, see what they'll say. It's go ahead, see what they'll say.
Right.
You know, it's just like he just brings it down a couple notches.
Right. He's not as creative as Kevin. No. Sociopathic.
Apparently, like, in the Macaulay Culkin in the wilderness period, on one episode of WWE Monday Night Raw, somebody hit somebody with a paint can on a string, and it panned over to Macaulay standing in a doorway saying, that's not funny. And that was it, with no explanation. Man, there's 20 fascinating years of that guy's life, and they're not the famous ones.
Right. There was something I saw. There was a hot second he was doing, like, these weird YouTube videos where it was almost like Jimmy the Cab Driver from MTV. But, like, I don't know. I don't even remember what it was, but I just remember, like, he was talking a lot about Kevin from Home Alone, and he was just all scraggly and
weird.
Lives in Paris now.
Lives in Paris.
And he's married to someone famous, right?
Probably.
Brenda Song?
Yes, that's correct. She's younger, isn't she?
I think she's like our age, so she's slightly younger.
Well, Collie's like 42.
Yeah, so 41. She's 5 years younger than him.
Yeah, adjust your understanding of how old millennials are, boomers. Macaulay Culkin is 42.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Yeah, I know you assume he's like 20.
I assumed he was much older than he was because, like, while we were watching it, Dan was like, what was Ryan Gosling doing around now?
Right.
This time I was like, that's an odd question, but
like, I mean, that's the question I ask every movie. Every movie I watch, I'm like, what do you think Ryan Gosling was up to at this time?
But, like, I had to look because I thought Ryan was considerably younger than him, but no, he's the same age as them.
Hey, about that trailer. Beep, beep.
You know this one? Great big gobs of greasy, grimy gopher gut, mutilated monkey meat, chocolate little piggy feet. French fried eyeballs swimming in a pool of blood. That sure tastes good.
Behind his smile lies a secret.
Here, made two of them, so we could be brothers.
Hey, Mark, come on, let's go.
Where are we going?
Behind his eyes lies a plan.
Who is he? Mr. Highway. Wow. What are you going to do with him?
And behind the image of a good son.
Coming?
So what are you guys up to out there?
Sorry, Mom. Top secret. Where are we going?
We're here.
Lies the terrifying truth.
Say goodbye.
No!
You could have killed people.
I feel sorry for you. You just don't know how to have fun.
What? You're a doctor. You know things.
Some things.
What if there was this boy? He did these terrible things because he liked doing them.
Such a sweet little thing.
It'd be too bad if something were to happen to her. Would you say he was evil?
I don't believe in evil.
Should.
When innocence is just a mask.
Do you really think I'd hurt her?
You wouldn't.
Poor Mark. So violent.
When trust becomes a weapon. Then anyone can become the next victim.
Henry.
No! Susan! If I let you go, you think you could fly?
Macaulay Culkin, The Good Son.
Why did you remind me of that gross schoolyard rhyme for a scene that's not in the movie?
Oh my God, I forgot that that was in the trailer. I watched the trailer right after the movie and I was very sleepy. And so I don't really have comments on it other than I do think it is an effective depiction of what the movie is.
Yeah.
And like, I think if I saw that trailer, I'd be like, this movie looks really fucked up.
Right, yeah.
and it is.
And it totally got me to the theater.
Yeah.
So I am here for the trailer.
Yeah. Works well enough. Your Letterboxd lists are, I hate children, specifically movies where a child is killed, and also unique MPAA rating reasons, which is endlessly fascinating. This film was rated R for acts of violence and terror involving a disturbed child, as opposed to, you know.
A regular, an undisturbed child?
Yeah, you're right. Right. I mean, if you were at acts of violence and terror involving a Great Dane, maybe that's a PG-13. But if it's a disturbed child, we're going to R. It is better when they get fancy.
I didn't even realize it was rated R.
I kind of remember, because this movie came out when I was a child and Macaulay Culkin was a famous child star, like kids my age wanting to see it and being like, well, I guess we can't.
Yeah.
I think any movie where a toe-haired little Muppet says, don't fuck with me, is getting an R rating.
Yes.
Right. I guess it's just so, for whatever reason, I don't think about ratings anymore.
Because you're a grown-up and you can watch whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll probably be like another, like, maybe 5 years before I start actually.
Until you start dropping off at the theater. Then you're going to want to be aware. Because we're not parents, Robin and I aren't parents, I stopped paying attention. Do theaters enforce that thing where kids have to be accompanied? Like, everyone has a sign. I guess I don't really see, like, packs of 12-year-olds at the movie theater that much.
Not really.
No, it's not really a thing anymore.
That's a shame.
I got to say, the one time that I was ever carded to go see an R-rated movie, I was 19. And it was to see Fear.
Oh!
Marky Mark.
Fingers are on that Ferris wheel, so.
No, I got that. I got that beat, to quote Jaws. Not by me. I one of those guess your age guys at Kennywood said I was 25 when I was 12. I've never had a problem. But we were in college, and a friend of mine was visiting, and we were going to see Eternal Sunshine. And they carded everybody for Eternal Sunshine, and she just didn't have her ID, and they would not let her in.
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't think you're getting the point of this system. It's not to keep a college student from seeing Eternal Sunshine.
They carded everyone seeing, what was that Charlize Theron, Seth Rogen movie? Long Shot. On my 35th birthday.
What?
Congratulations. Yes.
Right? It was like, I had my ID out because I do A-list, right? Uh-huh. And then I guess that I might have like triggered them into being like, oh, I guess everybody's ID needs to be checked. This is an R-rated movie. And I'm like, we're a bunch of olds.
All right. It's fine. We've done and said worse.
Yes. Like,
we're going along, and we have a forgotten 1990 TV movie to talk about for 45 minutes. Right. So I'm going to go with an 81. The more we talk about it, the more I like it. Good Son, good movie. Don't put that on the poster either. Robin?
I'm going to go 65. I do think this is a good movie. It's not for me, and I just want a little bit more. A little bit more exploration.
Meat. A little more meat.
Yes.
187.
Ooh. That's one of your higher rankings.
Yeah.
Hey, this is up two of our alleys. 77 and two-thirds. As we learned, that is not quite going to get you into the top 25, but that's close. Yeah, that's very, very close.
I do think this is a good movie, right? Yeah. I just think it's not for me.
Not your bag.
Yeah. And could be better.
To the bingo card. Well,
There was snow.
A whole lot of snow, and there was a convenient newscast exposition about the highway accident.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wait, did we count one final score for...
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo!
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Yes!
There you go.
Thank goodness. This bingo card has been haunting us.
This has been going since July.
Yeah.
All right.
Camila has a free veto, which is a good thing to have in spooky season.
Thank God. We want
to watch something fun and not, I don't know, Ouija 2 or,
hopefully want to be able to. Hopefully I'll get a chance to leave my veto in the packaging for a little bit.
Yeah. Hopefully Tony will just take care of us.
Right. Tony, come on. Yeah. We've been good to you.
Yeah.
Now listen, last time when we landed on this, I mentioned a film I own on Blu-ray because, you know, I'm a collector and make poor financial decisions called Child in the Night with an even younger Elijah Wood. This aired on network television, I think on CBS, in the year 1990, and it is a ride.
I liked this movie more than The Good Son. I very much enjoyed this movie.
I don't know. It's just so satisfying.
Yes.
This is, when I say fun TV movie, this is exactly what you think of.
Right, yeah. This is most definitely the epitome of TV movies.
Maybe Joe Beth Williams and Tom Skerritt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both there to play. Like, they're coming to work, which I appreciate because they could just be cashing a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
mm-hmm.
they are doing it. And Elijah Wood is an adorable child.
You know, I decided why he's so adorable between these two movies. It's because his head is the exact same width as his neck, which continues into adulthood. That is the case to now. But look at him, like most people have some difference. It's like the top of a pencil coming out of his shoulders, and it makes him extra adorable at this young age.
Interesting.
Tom Skerritt and Joe Beth, other than the most unnecessary romantic subplot.
What? Disagree. Mm. There's sexual chemistry there.
I feel like the whole damn thing, there, that part was really forced because the way that he fucking just like, lady doctor, oh, okay, chick, all right, blah, 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 so wanna fuck? Like, it's like, come on. Like,
I get it. Yes.
I totally appreciate how she was just like, yes, don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
This is all what it is. This is all it is. I'm just here for the D. Yes. So I appreciate that.
She's just, I also, like, I don't think I had a proper appreciation of Joe Beth Williams before the past few years. She's great.
Yeah.
She just has a nice, don't give a fuck demeanor about her.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. So the premise of this movie is that, you know, little baby Elijah Wood witnesses his dad's murder.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, childhood reasons, he blocks out the actual murder. And like so the police are trying to help solve it and try to solve it. And they need his help to see because he saw something. He saw who did it, but he won't get past it. And Joe Beth Williams is the child psychologist who's supposed to help.
Now, here's where things get really fun, because we all decided that we were going to watch this. And then Sean, I was working that night. They both watched it. And Sean said, this backstory for Joe Beth Williams needs to be seen to be believed. And so I'm like ready for it. And then it comes in. And what it is that she walked away from the child psychology game because she was involved in a case where a plane crash occurred over a elementary school playground and children died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this had to air right around the time that Senator Hines died. Like, that's kind of insensitive. And so I messaged them that, and they both were like, what? Because I guess that people have forgotten this, but I didn't forget it because it happened where I used to live.
Yeah.
Senator Hines from Pennsylvania, his wife was Teresa Hines Carey, after she became Carey after he died.
Right.
Died in a plane and helicopter crash over an elementary school playground in Lower Merion, Pennsylvania. And several children died. And he died. And that happened 1 year after this aired.
Are you serious?
Yes. This movie predicted the death of a U.S. senator.
Oh, my God.
And this is in my state. I probably should have known that. But I'm there thinking, let's simmer down. Like, you could have written, like, you know, about a bad car, you know, a bad a highway pile up.
Yeah.
Mr. Highway, where that led to seven children dying and getting the same thing. She has like a 4-minute monologue that gets into graphic detail. And he found his sister on the swing set, right, but most of her wasn't there.
Right.
And this keeps going. And I'm like, this, what a preposterous. And then Robin's like, yeah, that happened. Like,
in
what? But after this movie.
Also, while I was losing my brain over this, my friend Ben sent me that something similar had happened in the 50s, which maybe is what inspired this screenplay, more so than this guy did that and then sabotaged a helicopter because he was like, you know what? That would be an interesting story.
And that's not, I mean, that's bonkers. But then the premise here is that Elijah Wood, who is in real life is like 8 or 9 at the time.
He's so little.
And I feel like he's playing 5.
Yes.
Right.
Witnessed this murder, but can't. Did you say this a minute ago? And I'm just repeating it.
Yes.
He's being led through these like
trances.
Yeah, trances. They eventually start throwing hypnosis around, which he can only express through a complicated fantasy metaphor involving casting himself as Peter Pan, right, and only describing the culprit as Captain Hook.
High school stage play costumes.
Yes.
I love it.
I half spoiler, you're not going to watch this, except go watch
you should.
This.
Right. I think it's on Prime.
It. No, it's free on YouTube.
I think it's also on Prime.
And maybe also on Prime. The half spoiler is, at a key moment, he realizes that the killer, he has seen the killer in bed with his own mother, which is represented on screen by a man in a cheap Captain Hook costume rolling off of his mother.
Which I'm still confused. Like, so was he wearing the wig in bed when he saw him? Because that's a whole other shit ton of questions. And now I get why poor baby was traumatized. It wasn't about the murder.
Listen, you want to watch this movie, including, again, I don't want to give it away, but there is a subversion of a classic family character coming when we get to the reveal of the killer. Oh, man, put this on. And no one in the world has seen, I mean, I'm sure it did good ratings at the time, but
it was hard to find it on Letterboxd.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, to give you a sense, okay, I'm looking at my Letterboxd right now. The Good Son has been watched by 36,000 Letterboxd members. The Wicker Man, which I just watched, has been watched by 147,000 Letterboxd members. Child in the Night has been watched by 516 Letterboxd members.
Three of them are in this
Three
room.
Of them are right here. And one is Mary Beth. So 512 independent of this.
It definitely made me miss the made-for-TV movie.
God, me too. I mean, I guess that like that's kind of what is on Netflix some of the time.
Sort of, but it's just not the same. It's just, there's a certain feel
about
it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And also just like, you know, Netflix, they can curse and they can get away with a lot more stuff. But I like, you know, the...
And the built-in commercial breaks also hit something.
Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend... I mentioned the distributor Vinegar Syndrome last week, who is great. I got this in a set called Televised Terrors. Mm-hmm. That is a box of 3 of these. I've watched 2 of them. This is the better of the 2, but I would recommend Calendar Girl Murders. Millionaire Richard Trainer is rolling out a new spread featuring a beautiful nude model for each month of the year. However, the party is ruined when Miss January is pushed off a building, and later Miss February is knifed to death. Yada, yada, yada.
Sounds
He's
good.
Killing them in order. Starring a then unknown Sharon Stone.
What?
Oh.
And as the detective, Tom Skerritt. This is just what he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of those in the Vinegar Syndrome set. Televised Terrors. Yeah, they do good work.
That's amazing.
Watch it on YouTube right now. Pause. Come back to us.
Yeah.
Other than Child in the Night, What's everybody watching, Robin?
Well, I saw Don't Worry, Darling after avidly following all the background drama and creating a 35-slide PowerPoint, mm-hmm. explaining it to people.
I have seen it. You haven't seen it, Camila.
Correct.
And as Sean was like, we have to all watch it and record a bonus episode. And, you know, a week later, it's like the ins and outs of that movie I no longer can really care about. It really is disappearing from the earth. But what?
It's the number one movie in America. It's on the list.
Listen, if somebody was like, lockdown, you have to talk about Don't Worry, Darling for another 3 hours.
Yeah.
I could do it. Yeah. Just to be clear. But I'm not going to talk about it too much here also because I don't want to be spoilery. But yeah. I will just say, like, that movie could have been good.
Yeah.
And
it's not.
It's bad.
Oh, really? It's not good?
It's not. I mean, it's not terrible. I think a lot of people hate it. I very much enjoyed watching it. Like, I was in, right? But, you know, when you leave, you're like, well, that was bad. You know, like that kind of movie.
Yeah.
Particularly, Florence Pugh is fantastic.
Yeah.
And Gemma Chan is good. And Kiki Layne is very good.
For 9 seconds. Yeah.
Harry Styles is awful.
He is not very good at acting.
I wouldn't imagine.
Some people have been saying Chris Pine was bad or like was acting like he knew the movie was bad.
I thought so.
I thought he was great. I thought one of the well done things in the movie is the nonsense that they make him say on his misogyny radio hour is.
Yeah, that was good.
Perfectly nonsensical, right? They did a really good job of like, this is what these idiots sound like when they're like, you have to wake up and decide, are you going to lead or follow? Are you going to be the kind of person who wakes up or the kind of person who gets up, right? Like that kind of bullshit.
it is just the prime example of you set up a mystery and the payoff was bad and uninteresting and unsatisfying and a little problematic in places, you know. I mean, what could have been, but...
The other thing I do want to say is that it is ridiculous that they tried to decouple that style of misogyny from racism.
Yeah.
And, like, they just kind of, as far as I can tell, just pretend racism doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
And then the black girl dies first. And it's like, like, it just, and that's also just not accurate, right?
Yeah.
Those people are white supremacists. So pretending that they would do this without involving that is disingenuous.
Beep out the end of this sentence.
Yes.
How did you feel about the...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
How did you feel about...
Oh, so stupid.
Shot like it was.
Yeah, so stupid. I forgot. There's so many things that are wrong in this movie that I forgot that it has that.
For obvious reasons, that's where I was like, and we're done here.
Yeah.
Like,
and then the other thing is that if they made a movie about what happens next, it would be so much better.
Yeah.
Why this movie should be, if they wanted to tell this story, it should be a short. It should be about 20 minutes long. And if they wanted to actually tell something interesting. Mm-hmm. What happens to this lady after this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's going to go well.
I hate, you know, what I don't enjoy is a lot of people like analyzing how, oh, Olivia Wilde. It was a bonkers experience. I have a very long Twitter thread because I was not at a critic screening. I was at like the fan event, which was loaded. It was only Harry Styles fans. It was only One Direction fans.
Oh, poor, poor babies.
In a completely full theater. And it repeatedly he tries to get really serious and just around me I hear like they just can't, they're there for him,
right?
And whenever he goes for the Oscar they're just laughing at him because he can't handle
it. He's not good at acting but he's so good at being a pop star.
Yeah, but early on the first thing after it started 12 minutes late for no clear reason, and then they just showed like 5 minutes of the production stills, the photographs. And people started booing and cheering and booing Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Like they would show one of Olivia Wilde and the crowd would boo. And then they would cheer for Harry Styles and more for Florence Pugh and a little bit for Gemma Chan. It was an interesting night. But what point was I building to? Olivia Wilde. I don't like everyone going, Olivia Wilde ruined it. Oh, what a mess.
Oh, no.
Because I think it's so much more complicated than that. I do think that she made one feature, which was an intimate comedy, and then tried to make a sweeping 2-hour long sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
And you need a little ramp up between those two.
I think that a lot of the ham-fisted directorial things that she does that made this movie suck, if a man did them, people would think they were great. And I am including myself. I rolled my eyes and was like, some people shouldn't be allowed to watch David Lynch movies, right? But I've watched male directors pretend to be David Lynch and been like, yay, great. So internalized misogyny is a bitch.
That's true. Anything else besides Don't Worry, Darling, Child in the Night?
Talk about other things, and maybe if I remember something, I'll let you know.
Well, I talked about not liking Don't Worry, Darling. Here's some other movies I don't like. Remember when I keep saying, I've been liking everything recently. It wore the fuck off. The one that's easy to hate is Blonde. Fuck that movie.
It doesn't look good.
I'm going to watch it.
First of all, the premise of this movie is, did you know Marilyn Monroe was fucked up? Yes! Babies are born knowing that Marilyn Monroe was fucked up. Like, what are you... There are two insights in this movie, that her parents messed her up and it gave her daddy issues, and that she regarded Marilyn Monroe as a character she was playing all the time. Yeah, we've established that, and we don't need to reestablish it with a 2-hour and 42-minute movie mainly linking together scenes of her being miserable, scenes of her being on drugs, scenes of a brutal scene of her kind of giving an unwilling blowjob to Kennedy, like scenes of her being hit, all of the scenes of her being fucked by studio heads. It is just unrelenting, miserable things happening to Marilyn Monroe for 3 hours with no reflection of moments of like success and happiness and joy and work and talent in her life. What a dumb fucking way to do a Marilyn Monroe movie.
Yeah.
And I'll say it here because relatively few people are listening. It's a weirdly pro-life movie.
Yeah.
Like, it shows her getting an abortion early. It wouldn't have been DiMaggio's baby. It's when she was in the thruple with there's a long stretch where she's in the thruple with Charlie Chaplin's son and somebody else's famous son.
Okay.
And she's pregnant and she decides she has to have an abortion, and then she regrets it, and it's this whole like how much she's upset about her abortion. Later on, there's a talking fetus in her that is saying, I'm the same baby you hurt before. Like,
what?
This isn't just like honestly depicting the difficulties women have over deciding what to do with their fetuses. This is like making a really weird and gross stand about how awful abortion can be.
Yeah.
Bad movie.
Yeah, that's weird.
No.
Maybe I'm not going to watch it. I don't know.
I think it's fading from, I think at one point this was like, this will get Ana de Armas her Oscar. I think that's starting to fade.
Yeah.
Don't Worry, Darling and Blonde are bad movies. Not a bad movie, but one I reluctantly just want to register that I am not on the train is The Woman King, and I feel really bad about it.
I watched the first 10 minutes of The Woman King because the AMC at the waterfront is incompetent, and if you see the first showing of anything on a Thursday or a Friday, you're going to see whatever was in that theater last week.
I still think people should see this because Viola Davis is great.
She's always great.
The supporting cast is great. It looks good. It's very well and elegantly directed by Gina Prince by the Wood, as Robin knows her. The script is bad. It has a bad, long, cliched script, which everyone is ignoring because Viola Davis is so good. And I still do think you should go see it. It's a bad script, and it was hard for me to get through it. Because,
I'm really glad I got that 10-minute free preview of it, because I was like, I cannot watch this in the theater. It's too gross. It's very, very violent. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I need to watch this in a place where I can feel perfectly comfortable hiding behind my hair. Mm-hmm. But additionally, I wanted to mention that, you know, when the title card comes up at the beginning and it's like they're playing like, you know, Hollywood Africa music.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, the year is whatever in Dahomey. And I was like, I believe that this is how Don't Worry, Darling starts.
Yeah.
And if you see Don't Worry, Darling, you'll understand why.
No, I would not discourage anyone from seeing it. If you want to go to the theater and see it now, that's fine. I'm also saying you should feel free to wait for streaming and be willing to look at your phone, because that's okay. Another long one, and you're there for the performance almost exclusively. Yeah.
I'm glad that was a number one movie in America, though.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes, it was.
Good for Viola and Gina Prince by the wood.
Do you have anything else?
No. I mean, I watched a bunch of old movies, but no one cares.
We talked about Child in the Night for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Camila?
And kind of keeping on that child, murderous child theme, I watched the remakes of the Lifetime version of The Bad Seed.
I saw you had like a letterbox last four of like, well, Camila's going through it.
So Lifetime redid The Bad Seed and they doubled down and was like, you know, we're going to do a part two also.
Yeah.
And I watched that shit too.
Was it good?
The second one was bad. I mean, okay. like the first one was actually surprisingly good because I am a fan of the original one.
Yeah.
So, but the first one, I was surprised. Rob Lowe directed it and was also...
Who's that? Rob Lowe. I heard Rob Blow.
Rob Blow. Like Curtis Blow.
Yes.
Curtis Blow's cousin, right. Rob.
Yes. No, Rob Lowe. Interesting.
Right. He directed it, and he was also played the dad, which is like they kind of flipped it around a little bit, you know, a couple little modernizations. So instead of single mom, it's a single dad, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Little girl, terrifying. Kenna Grace.
Oh, yeah. She's good.
Yeah, she's very good. And so, yes, I would recommend that. But the second one is not that great. There's just a lot of just like, you know, every time, every trope of like, why do you tell the psychopath that what you want, that you're on to them? Like, there's like eight characters in the second one that do this. And also it's like, it's unnecessary because yet, like the first is like, she's 8-year-old child killing people. That's shocking.
Yeah.
And terrifying. She's in high school now. In the second one, teenagers are terrible.
Yeah, like, high school students murder people right. All the time.
Like, I mean, that's not that shocking. It's kind of unnecessary. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you just want, just like for the hoopla's sake, just go for it. Watch it. But don't expect anything good. Yeah, I had a lot of disappointments, too. I watched something called The Watcher on Shudder. It was a Shudder original. Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Okay.
Terrible film.
I mean... this is part of why Shudder is a fun streaming service, because with the originals, that will fall somewhere between one of the best films of the year and unwatchable garbage.
Yeah.
And they're kind of presented in the same way.
Right. And it's so fucking, it's just trash and tragic.
They came really close to a best foreign language film nominee.
Really?
One of the last couple of years, they had something as an exclusive that was on the shortlist mm-hmm. and close to getting it.
Wow.
So it could be that, and it could be, you know.
Watcher.
It could be Watcher.
So I would not suggest that. Like, it's just like a really weak script, weak, terrible acting of, you know, some woman who thinks she's being stalked and whatever. Also terrible, Safer at Home. What was that?
What's that? Sounds like something I'm...
Oh, okay. So it's either a Netflix or a Shudder original. I don't remember. But the thing is, like, this group of friends, like, they're in the pandemic. So it's a pandemic film while...
Yeah.
And it was made in 2021 whilst in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, they get together on Zoom and blah, blah, blah. And a murder happens or an accidental death happens. Sends them into a tailspin. Also fucking terrible. Mm. Like, it was, like, so poorly executed.
I know two people who have seen this on Letterboxd. You gave it 1 out of 5. The other person gave it 0.5 out of 5. Its average score is 1.4. That's the lowest I've ever seen.
I was going to say, I've never seen that.
Yeah. No.
And it's one of those, like, where, like, an avid horror or movie watcher... Or just a regular fucking Joe. We'll catch the twist 20 minutes in. It's like, okay. And then they spend another like hour to get there. And you're like, I got it. Like, can we move on?
That also is Don't Worry, Darling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I did revisit an old favorite. And I'm pretty sure it was a made for TV movie or it was just an HBO movie. But it's called Lisa.
And who's in that?
Stacey Keenan. Remember My Two Dads? That
oh yeah,
that little girl.
Yeah,
from
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So the
okay, I'm on board.
So it's a. I think it's on Prime right now.
Oh my god!
I found the DVD like a few years ago and was ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because it was just one of those that we watched over, and also D.B. Sweeney.
Oh, even more on board. Daniel Bernard.
I think you're wrong because I'm looking and I see D.W. Moffat. Are you sure you aren't thinking of D.W. Moffat?
Yes, you're right. It is.
Oh,
it's Moffat, not Sweeney.
Well. I'm still on board.
But
14-year-old Lisa creates a rich fantasy life, calling random men and seducing them anonymously.
Yes.
But when she happens upon the candlelight killer.
Uh-oh. Yes. Okay.
Right. Exactly. And it's exactly one of those movies that this could not. They couldn't make it today.
Right.
So it was exactly perfect at that right time of dial-up of rotary fucking phones in your landlines and no internet. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yes, it's mwah. It's campy, and it's just, I would highly recommend if you can find Lisa, watch it. And I'm pretty sure it's on Prime.
Okay.
Right after you're done with Child in the Night.
Yeah.
That sounds like a double feature. Well, Good Son is part one of our 3-part spooky season special. Let's go to part two. Unless, have we established a rule as to whether or not you can use a veto the day you get it?
I don't think we did.
I think we've used it.
Yeah. I think we've done that.
I think you can.
Because we want that option. Again, a lot of variety in the Halloween list, from classics of the genre to, for example, the remake of Prom Night from 2008, which is what we just landed on.
I don't mind. Yeah. Okay. Brittany Snow.
That sounds right. Maybe I'll watch the original.
Was the original
1980 with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, okay.
The 2008 version was, yes, with Brittany Snow.
Yeah, I think I'll watch the original also.
I've never seen the original.
I've never watched it either. I'm pretty sure I saw the remake.
And as well down the cast list, playing Detective Wynn, Idris Elba.
Shut the fuck up!
Yes!
Idris is in this. Kellen Lutz is low on the cast. Ming-Na Wen is low on the cast list here.
Right.
Pittsburgh's own.
That's a nice little, all right, that sweetens the pot.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're dedicated, the original Prom Night is a serviceable B-tier slasher.
Okay.
Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2 is wild. That's the one to watch.
I am just going to watch the one that has been assigned to me by Tony.
You're just going to watch the 2008 version?
Yeah, I think
the
so.
The 1980 version is streaming on Peacock right now with ads.
All right, maybe.
Well, 100 horror movie remakes that came out in the 2000s that I don't think about anymore.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, everything got like a remake that, and a lot of them went to number one for 1 week because they came out in February or October.
Right.
And made $15 million and then completely vanished. So I'll be interested to see how this compares to the other ones. Yeah. The Good Son and the Prom Night remake. You know, all of your Halloween favorites. Before we get to that, The Good Son was released September 24th, 1993. What was the number one song in America?
Mariah Carey.
It was Mariah Carey.
Emotions?
Wait, what was this, 93?
Mm-hmm. September of 93. Not any variety. That's how ubiquitous Mariah Carey is. I tried to say the word variation, and I pronounced it like Varia.
Not Emotions. Vision of Love?
This is a big one, so I'm not giving you any hints. You're just gonna have to go through the singles collection.
Not Emotions, not Vision of Love. What is the
Dream Lover?
Correct.
Okay.
Is that which is the one with the Tom Tom Club sample?
Fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get Dream Lover and Fantasy confused.
Me too. They're easy to confuse.
I usually confuse most of her
songs. Yeah, they really are. Like,
just kind of
they have a formula. It's a great formula.
Right, like I don't mind them once they're playing, but...
Here comes the whistle register.
Right.
That's why she has 72 number one hits, because it's pretty much the same general idea.
Right.
And people go, I love this song. You've never heard it before, but I love it, number one.